RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesian ambassador to Malaysia received Tajikistan ambassador. Defense Ministry continues to monitor Indonesian hostages. Now the news in detail. Indonesian ambassador to Malaysia, His Excellency Herman Prayitno, received Tajikistan ambassador to Malaysia and Indonesia, His Excellency Emomali Rahmat, in Indonesian embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It was the second visit of the Tajikistan ambassador after having introduced himself as the past ambassador from Pakistan, who is assigned in Malaysia and carries diplomatic mission for the two countries, namely Malaysia and Indonesia. Ambassador Herman Prayitno said the second meeting with Tajikistan ambassador confirmed the visit of Tajikistan president to Jakarta to attend the 12th World Islamic Economic Forum at Jakarta Convention Center on August 2 until 4, 2016. In addition, the ambassador confirmed that Tajikistan president would meet Indonesian President Joko Widodo on August 1st.
Membicarakan masalah kunjungan Presiden Tajikistan ke Indonesia.
We talked about the visit of Tajikistan president to Indonesia on August 1st. The ambassador wants to confirm if there is an official invitation from Indonesian government. Yes, it is because Tajikistan president will attend the World Islamic Economic Forum on August 2nd until 4th. On August 1st, he requests for an official invitation for the Indonesian president.
Nah, dia tanggal satunya sekalian request untuk official visit ke Presiden Republik Indonesia.
Ambassador Herman added that the first Tajikistan ambassador to Malaysia and Indonesia told about the country's culture, namely Islamic literature and attitude, which referred to Al-Quran. It makes Tajikistan close to Malaysia and Indonesia as Muslim-majority countries. Indonesian Defense Ministry is constantly monitoring the Indonesian citizens abducted by an armed group in the Philippines. Defense Minister Misara Chudu noted in Jakarta on Tuesday that the ministry continues to monitor the operation of the Philippine military. The Philippines has deployed 10,000 personnel to release the hostages over the past week. During the operation, the Philippines troops have killed some 40 Abu Sayyaf rebels in the offensive on the southern islands and have wounded some of the group's members. The minister also stated that the Philippine government had intensified operation to free the hostages. The minister has confirmed the Indonesian citizens held captive by the Abu Sayyaf militant group in the southern Philippines are in good condition. The minister also affirmed that joint maritime patrols by Indonesia and the Philippines should be released soon to secure Indonesian ships and their crew sailing through the Philippines water. Indonesian House Speaker Ade Kamarudin received a visit of prompt U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Robert Blake to discuss various issues including terrorism in Jakarta on Thursday. Speaker Ade also stated that they spoke about terrorism, corruption and drugs. They further discussed ways to tackle terrorism and also conveyed that the House is open to any inputs from the Counter-Terrorism Act. The speaker also explained that the presence of hardliners and moderates in Indonesia have raised various pros and cons in preferring the revised law on terrorism. The House of Representatives received inputs from various parties, including the hardliners and moderates, for the revision of the Terrorism Act. The speaker noted that U.S. Ambassador's visit to the House was a farewell gesture as pledge assignment in Indonesia was complete and its successor would take charge in September 2016. He also assessed that Ambassador Blake is capable of reinforcing Indonesian-U.S. relations. Speaker Adi Kamarudin added that the Parliament is grateful for his role in fostering sound relations of both countries. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has instructed Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro to attend judicial review session on the tax amnesty law at the Constitutional Court in an attempt to explain the regulation comprehensively. President Joko Widodo said in a meeting with mass media editors in Jakarta on Tuesday that the government will appoint legal expert who can explain the terms of law. President Joko Widodo did not voice his disapproval of the civil society organization, which has sought a judicial review on the tax amnesty law as it is the right of the every citizen in line with the law. However, he remarked that the presence of the finance minister in the judicial review session is very important. Minister Bambang is also expected to explain the law materially and the advantages of the regulation to boost the national economy. The newly installed National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian might be relatively young for the third post, but he is believed to be ready to face challenges, which are getting increasingly tougher. Previously, chief of the National Counterterrorism Agency, Tito, was installed as the police chief by President Joko Widodo at the State Palace on July 13 to succeed General Badruddin Haiti, who entered retirement period in July 2016. President Joko Widodo reminded Karnavian in his inauguration remark that his challenges in the future will be heavier and more complex. But he believes that under Karnavian's leadership, Indonesian police force Polri will be able to face them well and will be able to gain greater trust of the people. The head of state also urged Karnavian to specifically focus on maintaining unity in the police force and bringing about reforms in its institution. Bank Indonesia BI reported that the country's foreign exchange reserve rose $6.2 billion a month to $109.8 billion by the end of June this year. Governor of Bank Indonesia, Agus Martowardoyo, attributed the increase in the country's foreign exchange reserve to sale of government bonds and loan received by the government. He told lawmakers in a meeting in Jakarta on Tuesday that tax and oil gas revenues also contributed to the rise in the foreign exchange reserve. Bank Indonesia Executive Director of Communication, Tirta Segara, said that the foreign exchange reserve was enough to cover the country's imports and installments of the government's debt for 8.1 months, or 8.4 months of import alone. Indonesian state-owned seaport operator Pelindo I and Spanish seaport company Inc. a memorandum of understanding on July 11, 2016 in Palencia, Spain. According to a press statement from the Indonesian embassy in Madrid received by Antara News Agency on Tuesday, the memorandum of understanding was signed by President Director of Pelindo I, Bambang Eka Cahyana, President Director of PT Biro Klasifikasi Indonesia, Rudianto, CEO of Fondation Valencia Port, Aurelio Martinez Estefes, and Director of International Society General de Suplan SA, SGS Roger Kemgain. The cooperation covers special traffic monitoring system and port communication system, digitalization of seaport information and the management of seaport terminal operation and seaport safety system. Marcio, an advisor of the Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and concurrently chairman of Indonesian delegation, remarked that the government is currently giving special attention to the maritime sector for developing seaport infrastructure. Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia, His Excellency Herman Prayitno, received Tajikistan Ambassador to Malaysia and Indonesia, His Excellency Amomali Rahomt, in Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It was the second visit of the Tajikistan ambassador after having introduced himself as the first ambassador from Tajikistan who is assigned in Malaysia and carries diplomatic mission for the two countries, namely Malaysia and Indonesia. Ambassador Herman Prayitno said the second meeting with Tajikistan ambassador confirmed the visit of Tajikistan president to Jakarta to attend the 12th World Islamic Economic Forum at Jakarta Convention Center on August 2 until 4, 2016. In addition, the ambassador confirmed the Tajikistan president would meet Indonesian President Joko Widodo on August 1. Ambassador Herman added that the first Tajikistan ambassador to Malaysia and Indonesia told about the country's culture, namely Islamic literature and attitude which refer to Al-Quran. It makes Tajikistan close to Malaysia and Indonesia as Muslim majority countries. The last item, Indonesia plays an important role in Austronesian study, especially in origin of the nation history. Therefore, Minister of Education and Culture in cooperation with the National Research Center of the Archaeology will hold a symposium on Austronesian diaspora in Bali on July 18 to 23rd. Indonesian archaeologist Hari Truman Simanjuntak said that Indonesia plays a major role and has contribution in research on Austronesian in the world. He said Indonesia is the initiator and leading the research on Austronesia. At the press conference taking place in Jakarta on Wednesday, Hari Truman explained that since 2000, scientists, teachers, lecturers and researchers in Indonesia had been studying Austronesia.
Ya, ya di mata dunia Indonesia itu sangat aktif ya berperan dalam menelusuri asal usul sejarah bangsa, budaya dan sebagainya dari masyarakat-masyarakat penuturnya.
Indonesia is very active in tracing the origins of nations' history and the community of native speakers. Indonesia was the initiator and leader in the study of Austronesia because our region is situated at the center of the spread of Austronesian people. Indonesia is also the biggest country among the Austronesian countries. More than 60% of the Austronesian speakers live in our region.
Penutur Austronesia itu hidup di wilayah kita, bangsa Indonesia lah gitu ya. Dan masih ada lagi yang menarik bahwa di kita ada penutur-penutur non-Austronesia. Ya, ini sangat penting, sangat menarik diteliti untuk mengetahui interaksi-interaksi maupun interkoneksi wilayah yang berlangsung sejak kedatangan Austronesia ke.
Harry Truman said further, the assistance of non-Austronesian speakers in Eastern Indonesian region adds to the appeal of study to understand the interaction and interconnection that have taken place since the arrival of Austronesian people. The Austronesian people came 4,000 years ago from Taiwan by boats. In 2005, Indonesia held the first international symposium on Austronesia. Harry Truman also explained there are many benefits gained from the study of Austronesia. The Austronesia is the foundation of Indonesian civilization, for example, in the field of farming, domestication of animals and plants. Until now, farmers in Indonesia are still using the tradition of Austronesian people. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelagic country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
Listener, our commentary today entitled The Dispute of South China Sea Post Perdue of the Permanent Court of Arbitration. The territorial dispute in the South China Sea will probably continue. On Tuesday, the Permanent Court of Arbitration, PCA, at the Den Haag in the Netherlands issued a verdict in favor of the Philippines in the dispute against the People's Republic of China, PRC. According to the judge's verdict, PRC has no legal basis to dominate a number of islands in South China Sea. The claim of PRC to control Spratly and Paracels on historical basis was rejected. The Philippines sued PRC to the Permanent Court of Arbitration, PCA, in 2013. China has to accept and respect the verdict of the court in the Den Haag. The government of Manila assessed that the verdict is a new momentum to resolve regional crisis in the South China Sea. On contrary, Beijing government rejects the verdict and considers it invalid. Beijing argues that the Permanent Court of Arbitration was not authorized to judge issues concerning state sovereignty. Previously, the People's Republic of China has claimed to be unwilling to participate in the judiciary proceedings in the Den Haag. Based in historical region, Beijing government has claimed hundreds of kilometers of the sea, and the islands are claimed as its territorial areas. The claims areas are located hundreds of kilometers in the southern province of Hainan facing the South China Sea. Since a few years ago, Beijing has even built a runway for military aircraft in the Spratly Island. In addition to triggering tensions against the Philippines and Vietnam, Beijing's action also attracted the involvement of the United States. The court in the Den Haag also assessed the People's Republic of China, PRC, has violated the sovereignty of the Philippines in the disputed territory, especially Scarborough Shell Island within 160 kilometers from the mainland of the Philippines. The court does not justify PRC to explore both oil resources and fish in the disputed waters. Beijing's rejection over the verdict of the PCA in the Den Haag becomes a signal the dispute is not over. The standpoint of the PRC that is unwilling to participate in the judiciary process may trigger the emergence of further conflict. The escalation of this crisis can bring about military conflict like what happened in 1974 and in 1988 between China and Vietnam. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History. We start from July 15, 1910. Ayatollah Abdullah Beh Pahani was killed. Ayatollah Sayyid Abdullah Beh Pahani is a leading Iranian cleric and one of leaders of the Iranian Constitutional Revolution was killed. Prior to the commencement of the Constitutional Revolution, Ayatollah Beh Pahani has actively struggled to improve the political situation in Iran. Then Ayatollah Beh Pahani joined other Iranian scholars to strive to uphold the constitutional monarchy in Iran, which was absolute and dictatorial constitution. Related to the struggle to uphold the constitution, Ayatollah Beh Pahani was killed by despotic government henchmen that was in power at that time. We now have a look at an event on July 15, 1946, the beginning of Malino Conference. The Dutch organized a conference in the town of Malino, Sulawesi, on July 15, 1946, as part of their attempt to arrange a federal solution for Indonesia, From the end of World War II, Indonesian Republicans had been trying to secure Indonesian independence from the Dutch colonial control. The Dutch invited 39 Indonesian representatives of the local rulers, Christians, and several other ethnic groups of Kalimantan and East Indonesia who supported the idea of some form of continuing Dutch connection. However, the Dutch had not anticipated the level of support amongst the Indonesians for genuine autonomy. The conference resulted in plans for a state in Kalimantan and another for East Indonesia. Listener, we conclude today's segment of Today in History with an event about the establishment of Education Command of Indonesian Air Forces. To accommodate education of Indonesian Air Force, which is getting more developed, on July 15, 1952, it has been set up the agency in charge of implementing environmental education in the Air Forces, namely Air Forces Education Command. The Indonesian Air Forces Education Command is the main guidance command of Indonesian Air Forces, located directly under the Chief of Staff of the Air Forces. The Air Forces Education Command in charge of organizing the first education, formation, development, specialization, and the transition in order to improve the quality of Indonesian Air Forces personnel, as well as organizing the development of education system, didactic methods of education, science and aerospace, and the development of the aerospace potential on the Air Forces Education Command and its ranks. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Focus. Today we'll take you to talk about hostage to the Indonesian citizens, Rio Court. Within 6 months, they had 4 times Indonesian citizens taken hostage by the Abu Sayyaf group in the Philippines. As reported by Antara on July 9th, around 23:30 local time, the LLD 113/5/F trawler of Malaysian flagged was ambushed by an armed group in waters around Felda Sahabat area, Lahad Datu, Malaysia. From the 7 crews, 3 Indonesian citizens were kidnapped and 4 Malaysian nationals were released. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi at the Foreign Ministry in Jakarta Monday, July 11, 2016 said the hostage by armed groups against Indonesian crews in the waters of Malaysia and the Philippines cannot be tolerated any longer for any reason. Therefore, serious effort must be made immediately either by the government of the Philippines and the government of Malaysia. Retno Marsudi asserted the Indonesian government is ready to cooperate in liberation effort as soon as possible. Minister Retno added the safety of the Indonesian citizens who taken hostage is the main priority in this rescue mission. Related to the case, Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, said communication with the Philippines continues to be done to free the 10 Indonesian citizens being held hostage by the Abu Sayyaf. President Joko Widodo has also been called and sent a letter to the Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte. Luhut, not willing to explain what has been discussed when President Joko Widodo called and wrote to President Duterte. However, he believed diplomatic effort between the 2 heads of state will produce positive results. Luhut Panjaitan added that the military operation would be the last option taken by the government to release 10 Indonesian citizens who are victims of hostage by the Abu Sayyaf. On the other hand, Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that any attempt to free Indonesian citizens who are taken hostages, both in Malaysia and the Philippines, are always fraught with a risk. So the government hope the victims' families and the community entrusted to the government. Vice President Yusuf Kalla at the Vice Presidential Palace in Jakarta Tuesday said the government had been fully tolerant to the hostage takers. This was done because the government promotes the safety of citizens. According to Yusuf Kalla, now it depends on the governments of Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines to address this risk together. Meanwhile, international law expert Hikmahanto Juwono said the government does not need to involve the military to free citizens who are currently being held hostage in the southern Philippines. Hikmahanto Juwono in Jakarta Monday assessed that military operation will cause negative impacts in case hostage to the citizen repeated in the future. Indonesia can be considered as an enemy that must be fought by the armed group. According to him, the best solution is negotiation between the Indonesian government and the rebels without involving the issue of money ransom and military action. Listener, that was today's focus.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesia Ambassador to Malaysia His Excellency Herman Prayitno received Tajikistan Ambassador to Malaysia and Indonesia His Excellency Amomali Rohmt at Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Indonesian Defense Minister is constantly monitoring the Indonesian citizens abducted by an armed group in the Philippines. Defense Minister Misara Chudu noted in Jakarta on Tuesday that the ministry continues to monitor the operation of the Philippine military. Indonesian House Speaker Ade Kamarudin received a visit from U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Robert Blake to discuss various issues including terrorism in Jakarta on Thursday. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has instructed Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro to attend judicial review session on the tax and amnesty law at the Constitutional Court in an attempt to explain the regulation comprehensively. The newly installed National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian might be relatively young for the third force, but is believed to be ready to face challenges which are getting increasingly tougher. Bank Indonesia BI reported that the country's foreign exchange reserve rose $6.2 billion in a month to $109.8 billion by the end of June this year. Indonesian state-owned seaport operator Pelindo I and Spanish Seaport Company Inc. and a memorandum of understanding on July 11, 2016 in Palencia, Spain. Indonesian Ambassador to Malaysia, His Excellency Herman Prayitno received Tajikistan Ambassador to Malaysia and Indonesia, His Excellency Amomali Rohmt at Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Indonesia plays an important role in Austronesian studies, especially in origin of the nation history. Therefore, Minister of Education and Culture in cooperation with the National Research Center of Archaeology will hold a symposium on Austronesian diaspora in Bali on July 18 until 23rd. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016. With the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelagic country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what do you know about Voice of Indonesia? Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Bambrano Beach in central Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Listener, Donggala City, the capital of Donggala Regency, Central Sulawesi, will be launched into the tourism city next October. Donggala is projected to become a major tourism destination in Central Sulawesi province in the next few years. Donggala is an old town in Central Sulawesi. The name has been known since long time ago as a city of trade. In addition, Donggala has very large and diverse tourism potential, both marine tourism as well as underwater natural beauty and panorama of nature and the cultural art. For marine or beach tourism and underwater natural beauty, Donggala Tanjung Karang tourism object, which has been popular among people. Tanjung Karang has a beautiful white sand beach and marine parks that can be enjoyed by snorkeling and diving. Besides Tanjung Karang Beach, Donggala also has Bambrano Beach. The beach has beautiful white sand with rocky background. Its beauty is likened to a place of hidden paradise. The beach is located in the village of Sabang, Damsol sub-district, Donggala Regency, toward the west coast region. The visitors from the town of Palu, capital of Central Sulawesi, can travel for approximately 3.5 hours by using both four-wheeled vehicle and motorcycle. When arriving at the Bambrano tourism site, you will be charged 2,000 rupiah for parking of two-wheeled vehicles and 10,000 rupiah for four-wheeled vehicles. Listener, the area of Bambrano Coastal Tourism Area is 1 hectare with fine white sand. Different types of typical coastal trees stand firmly on the beach. Trees serve as kind of natural gazebo. You can swim up to 50 meters toward the open sea of Sulawesi Sea, mainly before 11 p.m. when the water was receding. Because of the sea is shallow, white sand is clearly visible from the sea level. Listener, Bambrano Beach has also a specific icon that is not owned by other beaches in Indonesia. Towering boulders and overgrown with trees become one of the enchantments of the beach. These boulders also became the springhead of seawater and freshwater. For those who like snorkeling and diving, you can do snorkeling and diving as much here. The preserved coral reefs and inhabited by hundreds of species of marine fish has become its own heaven. However, for those who do not want to swim or snorkel, you can take pictures with the boulder backgrounds. Listener, that was our regular Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Bambrano Beach. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. On July 1st, Indonesian people usually commemorate Bayangkara Day. In order to celebrate the day, there are many kinds of events taking place at the Indonesian Police Headquarters. One of them a series of events that take place at the police regional office in Banyumas, Central Java. Today's miscellany is about robot suit creativity competition in Banyumas, Central Java. Listener, initially, the police in Indonesia was established since the Majapahit Kingdom. At that time, the commander or Patih Gajah Mada formed a security troop called Bayangkara. Main duty of the troops is protecting the king and kingdom. When Japan and Dutch occupation broke in Indonesia, the troops are still divided regionally. 4 days after the Indonesian independence on August 21, 1945, the security troops declared themselves as the Indonesian police force, led by First Lieutenant Police Muhammad Yasin in Surabaya. The first step of Indonesian police force is to disarm Japan troops and arouse Indonesian people morality and Japan patriotic spirit of other armed forces in Indonesia. To unite these troops, the Presidential Decree No. 11, 1946, issued on July 1, 1946. This day is commemorated annually as the Bayangkara Day by Indonesian people until today. In the 17th Bayangkara commemoration, Banyumas Regional Police held an applicative technology innovation competition. This competition is held to invite all Indonesian people who like technology to be more creative in supporting police jobs. According to the Banyumas Police Chief Assistant Commissioner of Police, Gideon Arif Setiawan, this competition is a creative media for informatics and technology lovers to help police duty, especially Banyumas Regional Police. Today, Banyumas Police uses technology-based information in serving people. Besides technology competition, the Banyumas Regional Police also have robot suit competition using recycled materials such as boxes, mica, styrofoam, newspapers and other materials with the team My Police, My Hero. This competition is intended for junior high school students in Banyumas Regency. This competition is also used as media and entertaining people in campaigning Jimat or Dadi Siji Karo Masyarakat or Unite with People and turn back crime for the police along with people actively create safe condition in the society. The winner of this competition will be invited in the 17th Bayangkara anniversary on July 1st, 2016 celebration. Listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informs you about Bayangkara 17th Anniversary Creativity Competition. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and we meet again in the next edition of Miscellany.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner, a special segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's Dangdut edition, we'll present you to an Indonesian Dangdut singer, Caca Handika. Well, listener, before we go any further, let's listen to the first song entitled Termenung by Caca Handika. Enjoy the song.
Dalam aku termenung, hidup tersisa.
The singer with an original name, Caca Hermanto, is an Indonesian famous dangdut singer who is currently became a comedian. The hit songs of Caca Handika entitled Undangan Palsu, Mandi Kembang, and Bakar Kemenyan brought him to the top dangdut singer in Indonesia. Besides singing, Caca also has another talent in designing batik motifs. He also plays in some TV serial, such as Kampung Dangdut in 2006, along with Roma Irama and other dangdut artists. Well, listener, coming up next, a song entitled Semua Tahu by Caca Handika. Happy listening.
Thank you.
Jaja Handika is also known as Dangdut Composer. His song composition, namely Angka Satu, Bakar Kemenyan, Jangan Mengharap, Gantungan Baju. With relaxed performance, Jaja actually has a good sense of humor, so he often enlivened the situation in every event he attended. Well, listener, to conclude today's segment of Today in History, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Sedih Sekali and Pesan Perpisahan by Jaja Handika. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Dengar pesanku, pesanku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.